Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I'm your host, Erica Lynn Anderson, along with my co-host, Eric Brown. Unfortunately, in case you couldn't make it again this Sunday, she had a very important celebration to go to, but we will definitely miss her. Today, we have two awesome people in the No Joke Football Huddle. First, in a couple of minutes, we will be talking about the Seahawks and the women's game with Pete Richmire. You can follow him on Twitter at SportsBeat253. We also have the talented Larry D. Butler III, who is ranked in the top 10 for linebackers for the 2016 draft. How are you, Eric?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It snowed again today, so I'm enjoying the lack of heat, actually. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. People are complaining, but I'm all about it.
Well, hey, enjoy it, because I'm just the opposite. I hate snow. Growing up in Chicago, it just wore me out. So that's why I'm here in Dallas now.
Has it been hot there?
Not really. The only really hot day we had was yesterday. It got up to about 89, 90 degrees.
Oh my gosh!
We've been having a lot of rain lately, so it's been pretty much mid to upper 70s for the most part.
Oh, that's nice. That's pretty much perfect. I would say.
Yeah.
Our big problem,
definitely,
too, is the rain, but our temperature drops, so then it turns into snow. So that's our big issue, is it's our kind of our wet season, but we're a mile high, so if the temperature drops, it equals snow.
Right.
So.
And it starts stacking up.
Exactly. And it's really wet stuff, so it's usually gone by the next day. It's not like winter snow where it piles up, but I hate the heat. I can't handle the heat. So I live in the perfect place, I think.
Yeah, I hate extreme heat. I mean, for me, 80, 85 is kind of like the limit.
Mm-hmm.
But, around here, July, August, it's consistently, 100, 105. Oof. So, just day in and day out.
Now, do you guys get the humidity?
The humidity, not as bad. I mean, it does, hit every now and then, but more so the heat itself.
Okay, I've never been to Texas, and I know the South in general encounters a lot of humidity, but I wasn't sure if Texas was kind of included in that humidity bubble, if you will.
Yeah, more so down by, Houston, or, closer to, central Texas, southern Texas. It gets a lot more humid down there.
Oh, okay.
Getting closer to the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm glad for no humidity here. That's nice. All right. Well, in addition to draft talk today, we will have recaps of the WFA, the IWFL, and the LFL, as well as a recap for Guam Women's Tackle Football. We do have a new contest, so go to the No Joke Football Shop by April 24th, which that's actually over, so I should have looked at the dates. I apologize. So I will not go on with that contest. But you can go to the No Joke Football Shop today at Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties and order your project apparel like leggings, hoodies, and cool tees for tryouts. You can save 10% when you use the code ORDERSHIP10. Eric did say last week they do have men's apparel that he did order a T-shirt. So if you're looking for a gift for a guy in your life, or if you're a guy, definitely go check out Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauty. We do want to remind you that every sale of the No Joke Football brand goes to help another player get noticed and recognized internationally through our photo shoots and social media platforms. We have players like Christy Moran, Lauren Evans of Grand Queensland, plus Moon Arandia and Sophia Van Bay of FF Mexico and the LIBF. So let's do the women's rundown before we get into the huddle. We are going to start in Guam. Week 4 in Guam Women's Tackle. You can follow at GAM Guam for updates and links to game coverage. This weekend, April 25th and 6th, the Lady Raiders are coming off a 38-12 loss in Week 3, but they rebounded this week to edge the Sindaloo Raiders 14-12, and they improved their record to 3-1 to keep pace with the champions Team Legacy. Team Legacy continues to roll with dominating performance. They beat the Lady Falcons 44-6, which is a really good victory. The Falcons were coming off a 12-7 win in Week 3, and they are now 2-2 on the season. The Steel Blazers rebounded in Week 4 with a huge 28-6 win versus the Wireless Tough Chicks. The Blazers are now 1-2-1 on the season, and you can follow on Facebook by searching Bud Light Guam Women's Tackle Football League. So let's move to the Legends Football League. Week 3, it was a showcase of David versus Goliath at Toyota Park as the Chicago Blitz, featuring all fantasy quarterbacks Heather Furr, Christel Harris, and their stout D led by Chantel Taylor, Yashi Rice. They beat the retooled Omaha Heart 49-0. The Omaha Heart are coming off an embarrassing loss at home in Week 2 versus the Atlanta Steam 79-0, unfortunately. So hopefully the Heart can get it together. It's a good thing I don't live in Omaha. I'd probably have trouble pronouncing where I live. The top squads in the East remain the Blitz and the Steam. The Blitz are 2-0. The Steam are 1-1, and the Heart are 0-2. You can catch the weekly games on Fuse TV and HD at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific in May. The West gets featured with L.A., Seattle, and Vegas. Follow at MyLFL on Twitter or LFLUS.com. The LFL now has an app, and you can find it on Google Play. So go ahead and search that. And now on to the Women's Football Alliance or the WFA recap. You can visit WFAFootball.net for results and standings, and also go to WFANation.com for weekly interviews. Follow our network partner at Backseat Coach for finals updates and game day story links. A big story as the Acadia Zydeco fall from the undefeated ranks as they lose to the Arkansas Wildcats 28-6. The Cleveland Fusion continued its great start in 2015 behind Mercedes Efrain with 224 yards in the first half, winning 35-0 versus Indy Crash. Very impressive. The St. Louis Slam remain undefeated with a huge 49-16 win versus the Tulsa Threats. Dallas Elite with Odessa Jenkins win big, 78-6, versus the talented KC Titans and their quarterback, Katie Sowers. The Seattle Majestics win a Northwest clash with the Portland Fighting Phillies, 56-6. Seattle was up 28-0 at half. Nice job. Miami Fury rebound after a loss to Tampa Bay. The Inferno beats the Orlando Anarchy 42-0, and the Chicago Force blow out the Minnesota Machine on the road 70-0. Wow. Behind the best offense threat, Jeanette Gray and Aussie Ashley Rogers, plus an impressive D. You can follow game day updates at Force Game Day. Finally, let's recap the Independent Women's Football League, the IWFL. You can visit IWFLsports.com for updates and standings. The Sacramento Sirens returned in 2015 has been an impressive start. The Sirens win 41-0 versus the Phoenix Phantoms, and they remain undefeated. The Tennessee Train beat the Knoxville Lightning 36-12. And Houston Energy, behind our Lauren Cantu, beat the San Antonio Regulators 14-0. The New York Sharks beat the Montreal Blitz 26-12. To keep pace with the Pittsburgh Passion, who had a bye. the Carolina Phoenix beat the Washington Prodigy 19-0, and the Nevada Storm defeated the California Quake 33-6. Reminder to follow the @CIFA official for the Italian women's results and story links and our Facebook page for updates. You can go to our Facebook page for updates weekly, search Gridiron Beauties. I believe it's facebook.com/ Gridiron Beauties. So those are some pretty impressive scores. Congratulations to all the teams that pulled out victories this week. So now in the No Joke Football Huddle, we are going to talk more women's football with Pete Richmeyer. You can find him on Twitter @SportsPete253. Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You're on. I'm Erica. We've talked before, and I believe you've talked to Eric before too, right?
I believe so, yes.
Great.
Hey, what's
glad
up, Pete?
You could come on tonight.
How you doing? Oh, my pleasure.
So, Pete, what have you been up to?
Oh, just staying busy, still working in sports. Do some PA announcing for several teams out here in the Northwest. In fact, I'll be doing some games for the Tacoma Trauma as they take on the Seattle Majestics and I believe the Portland Phillies as well. Those games coming up, I'll be behind the mic for that stadium, so certainly looking forward to that.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Absolutely.
So let's talk the Seahawks draft.
All right.
What do you think? Okay, so what are their pressing needs? What do you think?
You know, it seems to be a trend with the Seahawks. They do some good off-season signings, but every time they go into it, the offensive line seems to need the most help, and I believe that's going to be the case again this year for the draft. I look for that to be a very heavy area of concern for them.
Okay. And so how do you think they, you know, with the free agency and now looking at the draft, how do you think they compare to the other teams in the division based on their free agency performance?
You know, as far as what's happened so far, you know, you look at some of the losses that San Francisco's taken, not a lot of change in St. Louis that I've seen so far. Arizona, same situation. They're looking to make some, hopefully some improvements in the draft. But when you look at the Seahawks, I think signing Jimmy Graham is probably one of the biggest, or, you know, picking up Jimmy Graham is probably one of the biggest things they possibly could have done, because that gives Wilson another threat, one of the best threats in the NFL for the end zone, certainly. So I think we're going to see some pretty good scores for Seattle next year. You know, we gave up Giacomini, the offensive line. A lot of false starts, so hopefully that's going to come down a little bit for Seattle. But, you know, I think they've been solid this offseason.
Are you worried at all about Jimmy Graham? And, you know, obviously last season with the Saints, he was very off and on. Even when he was playing, he wasn't the Jimmy Graham we were used to seeing with that shoulder injury. It was very nagging. He just couldn't seem to get over it. Are you worried at all that could become a chronic problem, that he could, you know, potentially become a liability more than a help?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's something that's actually talked about quite a bit here in the mainstream sports media. And the one thing about Seattle, though, if it's a problem, they have no problem nipping it in the bud and taking care of the issue and moving on. You know, they showed that with Percy Harvin. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave up to get Percy from Minnesota. He came in, supposed to be the man, didn't work, he's gone. You know, he played in a couple of games for Seattle. Being injured caused some issues, and Carolyn Schneider gave him the boot and sent him over to the Jets. So, yeah, if it is an issue, they'll move on and make the adjustments they need to make. I think Pete Carroll and John Schneider are two of the smartest people in the league.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's funny that you say that, because it's a lot of the Patriots mentality as well. And I think that's why both teams are so successful is the people who are in charge of the business side really are business, you know, minded. Like, there's no sentimentality, if you will. And people really blast Belichick for that there's no sentimentality. But I don't think you can afford to be like that in this league. You know, so if somebody's not working out, then unfortunately you got to give them the boot. I mean, that's just kind of the way it works.
Absolutely.
So,
you want to win.
Exactly. And I think that's why the Seahawks have been so, as of late, is, you know, last 3 or so years, is because, they have a leadership in place that says, hey, you know, they have that mentality as well. So people won't like it, but I think it's what helps you win games.
Well, you know, as close followers of the Patriots, as you know, people don't like teams to win. You know, they don't like looking up at other mm-hmm. teams, and if that's the case, they're going to find reasons, whether it's
mm-hmm.
conspiracy or not. But, you know, everyone, unless you're rooting for the winner, people hate wins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eric, do you have any questions for Pete?
Yeah, one of the questions I have is kind of twofold, and you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I'm just going to ask you how excited you were or your level of excitement when Jimmy Graham was traded for, and also do you think he'll be very effective in the run game? Obviously, you know, he's a weapon as far as a passing game, but he's probably going to have to be out there during situations where they're going to have to run the ball. Do you foresee him being a help there?
I foresee him being a huge help because anything that the other team has to do to back people up into their secondary and make some more room for Lynch coming out of the backfield, Lynch or Sherman, doesn't matter, is going to be a huge help. But he's just another dimension that the other team has to plan for, and it's going to make the running game that much more effective if that's possible. I mean, Lynch is one of the top in the league. You know, no matter who you root for, you have to recognize that, and that's just going to make him that much better.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely see that. Now I know his blocking ability, you know, kind of has been questioned. But you think he'd be more so effective as far as stretching out defenses and kind of worrying
exactly.
about the passing game? Okay, so I got you. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well noted that he doesn't like to block him, which is a shame because he'd be a big blocker, but yeah, he likes to get out there and head towards the end zone or head in the secondary. So let the secondary chase him and give Lynch some room.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's where you know when you have a you know a tight end that blocks and blocks well. I mean, you've seen obviously the Patriots are my team, but you've seen how effective that has been for the Patriots with Gronk, you know, blocking and you know, and when they had Hernandez, you know. Pre-jail time, you know, they were great at blocking, and they freed up a lot of, you know, a lot of the running game to be successful. So maybe Seattle can get him to block more.
I hope so.
So this Russell Wilson baseball story, do you think it was just overblown by the media? What are the fans thinking in Seattle?
Absolutely. I think that's nothing more than trying to get some more money. Point blank and period. I mean, the guy hit 238 or 230, I believe. You know, he has a good glove that has very little power, and that was his A ball. I don't think that he's got Seahawks aside. I don't think he's a Bo Jackson. I don't think he's a Deion Sanders where he's going to get to the major league level and excel. Those guys jumped pretty much straight. You know, maybe 1 or 2 years in the minor leagues. And I don't think Deion even did. They went straight to the show and put up numbers, and that's not something that Russell Wilson has the ability, baseball-wise, to do. I think this is him from Seattle, you know, I kind of want to go play baseball. And the bottom line is if he was serious, he's hurting himself because no team in baseball, he wants a fully guaranteed contract, and no team in football is going to give someone a fully guaranteed contract if he's going to go focus on another sport for 6 months. If you want the guaranteed money, this better be your sport.
Yeah.
So he may be hurting himself. And if it drags on, it drags on. But.
Yeah, and you really, you know, as a quarterback, you know, he had obviously the potential of damage to his shoulder, his elbow, throwing. I mean, you got to be careful with that stuff, you know. So where are you going to be for the draft? Are you watching it? Are you planning on watching it on TV?
As much as I can. You know, I got a lot of other stuff going on. I do PA for baseball as well, and some semi-pro football teams around here that have games throughout the draft. But as much as I can, I'm going to watch it at home, you bet. But traditionally, the draft isn't something that I know people get really worked up on it. You know, my father takes time off. He takes vacation days from work to watch the draft, and that's not something that I get that worked up on, okay? Draft's over. Let's see who we got. You know, it's time to get to work. I'm not really into the whole
that
whole process.
Yeah. Eric, do you have another question?
Yeah. Of course, as you know, John Snyder and Pete Carroll have done a great job as far as being able to draft, especially in the middle to late rounds. Do you foresee them, doing any shifting or trading or moving up and down, or pretty much just staying where they are? I know they have like 11 picks in the draft this year.
Yeah, that's a ton of picks. And Eric, that's a good question, because with those guys, I mean, you just never know. Their ability to find those late picks, I mean, they picked up Russell Wilson in the third round. I mean, their ability to read that talent and know what's going to fit in their system and know what's going to fit in their team. You know, they talk to those players. They scout those players. They know who those players are. And they can get them in the late round. So I don't know that they really have that need to jump up and grab someone higher or do a whole lot of trading. They just don't have the holes that other teams have. And they like keeping, they're signing so many of their star players to the long-term contracts that, they can get who they want through the draft where they're at. So, I really don't see a whole lot of moving around.
Right.
Yeah, so, Pete, let's talk NFL 2015. So with more rivalries scheduled and now on Fuse TV, so what's your take or what insights do you have about that particular, about Fuse TV?
I'm sorry, you broke up there a little bit. What was that?
Okay, so the NFL with the rivalries being scheduled and they're on Fuse TV now, so what's your take on that? What kind of insights do you have as far as Fuse TV schedule?
Well, I think any TV is better than no TV, and as long as I know a lot of people have a tough time getting Fuse because their local providers don't carry it or whatnot, I hope that changes. I hope more providers do. The biggest thing that I'd like to see at this point is, Mitch, his big holdback from being able to pay players was, I need a TV deal, okay? You got a TV deal. Now what are you going to do for the players? I think that the exposure that he's getting is huge. Omar, his brother, has stepped up, done some big things for him, like with the reality series and with TV, and now it's go time for the players. I think that being on TV is going to give him that avenue. It's showtime. Pay the players.
Yep. Seems like he's running out of excuses. Obviously, always the excuse was, we don't really have money, blah, 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 but this TV deal kind of shows everybody that, hey, you do. You have some money coming in. You have, so.
Well, he always has. We're seeing on 150-some countries or 50 countries or whatever around the world that, you can't take care of the players. And I think now this deal, as far as what I think of Hughes, I think this is it for him. Canada didn't work. He's not going back. Australia certainly didn't work. He's not going back a second year for that. And the LGL, they took his TV deal down there. So he's not going to have any chance down there. So now focus on the U.S., get it right here, do right by the players, and make this thing a success. The concept's huge. The fans love it. But you got to treat your players properly and build a thing. And this
is
he
still not allowed in Australia?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is he still not allowed in Australia? So I think the last
time we talked, he
said he had been kicked out.
Yeah, he actually went back on another holiday visa, and I don't know, how much you're aware of what happened, but he had 4 tryouts planned for all the cities he had down there, and he only did the first 3 tryouts and had a total of 10 players show up at those 3 cities. The press is so bad, and each city had players from the LGL out front handing out flyers saying, this is who this guy is, come play with our league.
Cool.
So they're like, hey, thanks for warning us, and they went and joined the LGL. So I think if he went back, he doesn't have enough players there to field one team.
Yep. Wow. All right.
Yeah, he really took a beating in the press there. It was brutal.
Okay. Well, and you can't say it's undeserved, That's the
right thing.
He kind of made his bed there, so.
Yep. But you know what? Now he's got the opportunity here to do some good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Redeem himself in a sense. So the West hasn't played yet, but so do you, in your opinion, do you think the Chicago's the best squad so far?
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised that the Atlanta game was as close as it was. I thought Chicago would have won by a bigger margin than that. Atlanta certainly stepped up, made that a tight game, and then blew out Omaha, and then Omaha went to Chicago, you know, last night, was beat pretty soundly, not by the numbers that Atlanta beat them, but I understand that Chicago didn't necessarily play all their starters the entire game, so they gave all, some of the reserve players some playing time. So, yeah, I do. I think Keith Hack's the best coach in the league. I think you know, he certainly knows what he's doing, and if he doesn't want to run up the score, he's doing that for a reason. Go ahead and let the people on Commissioner's Corner talk about if Chicago isn't the best team. He loves that role. He's eating it up, and he's going to go straight to the – I think they're straight to the cup.
Okay. Eric, do you have another question?
Yeah, I was wondering, what do you think the Blitz's chances are for a three-peat this year?
I think if it was me, I'd bet the farm on it. I do. I don't think there's any team in the East that's going to beat them of the other two, certainly. Certainly not Omaha. I'm hoping Omaha has a chance to score this year by the looks of things. From the West, you know, L.A. losing their quarterback, that's huge. Las Vegas, from what I understand, they're a little bit in limbo. You know, they're playing actually just outside of L.A. now. They're not playing in Las Vegas anymore. They lost their deal with or Mitch lost his deal with Thomas and Mack Center. But he's playing them in L.A.'s old home. Seattle, they've lost some veterans. And up until a couple months ago, they didn't have a full team. I think the addition of K.K. Matheny to QB, that team is certainly going to help. But she doesn't live in Seattle, so she's going to be flying in for practices or games. So we'll see. I think the West is a mess, and I think Chicago is the best in the East. So, yeah, I think they're gonna run the table.
Okay. Well, being from Chicago, that's music to my ears. So I'll be watching out.
Absolutely.
So how much better do Adrian Purnell, Lauren Ziegler, and Diana Wojcicki make Atlanta? How much better is the team with them on it?
Oh, man. So many folds better. I think it's huge having that veteran leadership. That's something that, you know, obviously Dakota did the best she could as a leader, but having the players that have been around, that have that experience, that can be there in the practices and get the rookies, you know, to feel that fire is huge. I mean, they're close. You know, they're close, but they don't have what Chicago has. So yeah, mm-hmm. They're gonna stomp. If Atlanta was in the West, it would be a Chicago Atlanta Legends Cup.
Okay. So it looks like Omaha, they've had taken some pretty bad beatings. How could a Mitchell essentially allow that performance 2 weeks in a row?
You know, I don't think he can stop it. I think a lot of, and you know, I hate to bash the guy. I've kind of tried to move on from bashing him, which I haven't done a whole lot of, but it's his fault. You know, I don't think he can stop it. I think what happened is every year he turns over so many players that believe what he's saying about, okay, next year, next year, next year, next year. Well, he's out of next year, so he's losing so many stars from this league, so many teams from this league, so many venues from this league. So this is what you get. You have a watered-down team full of rookies, and they're not going to win, and it's his fault. He can't hang on. Teams can't hang on to those players.
Yeah.
There's so much negative press, players are quitting.
Yeah. So I know you said there's some issues in the West, but do you think that they'll be pretty entertaining this year?
The league will?
And the teams in the West?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that, you know, Tui's, he knows what he's doing. He'll have Vegas playing the best they can. LA is going to come down to earth. They're not the temptation that they were the first 3 years in the league. And Seattle, same thing. I think all those teams are pretty much going to be even. Those are going to be some good games. You know, maybe not the prettiest games, but they're going to be close. There's not going to be the 86-0, 79-0, whatever it was, blowout like you had the other night. The games will be a little bit closer. Definitely entertaining.
Okay. Okay. Good. So your Legends Cup prediction, you're are you going with Chicago then?
Oh yeah, all the way. Yeah. There's no one going to stop.
Yeah. And this will be how many, three for them in a row then?
Yes, three for LA, then three for Chicago.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I think that's actually going to backfire on Mitch. You know, I think he's been very upfront about the fact that LA is his baby, and when they were knocked out of the playoffs a couple of years ago, he shed tears with them, you know, being the super guy that he is. And getting Chicago out of the West ideally would have made it a little bit easier for LA to advance, but losing, you know, Ashley Salerno, huge, losing some of the other players, you know, same thing, huge. So didn't work the way he wanted it to work. You know, I'm sure he was hoping for the Chicago-LA matchup, but LA is going to have to fight to get there. You know, I'm not saying they can't, but they're absolutely going to have to fight for it.
Okay. Eric, do you have any last questions for Pete?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, Pete, we appreciate you coming on and joining us today. It's always a pleasure
always
to
a
talk
pleasure.
To you. Can you let everyone know where they can find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Find me on Twitter, as you were saying, at SportsPete253. My website, pjrsports.com. Those are the best places to find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and we really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great day. Go Blitz.
You too. Yes. All right. Well, that was the awesome Pete Richmeyer. Very cool to talk to him as always. So now we get on to the second part of our huddle. We have Larry D. Butler III, who currently plays at Southern Nazarene University. He played high school football in Baton Rouge and was ranked the number one junior college linebacker at Eastern Arizona College and was named a 2014 All-American by three publications in January. Are you there, Larry?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're on with Erica Lynn Anderson and my co-host, Eric Brown.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh. So how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Just finished a little workout, and I'm excited to be on the interview with y'all.
Oh, nice. Very nice. How's the weather there?
It's been kind of raining the last couple of days, but it kind of cleared up today. It was about 80 degrees, pretty clear and sunny.
Okay. All right. I was just telling Eric that I got snow today where I lived. So, yeah, we're enjoying that.
Yeah.
All right.
See how.
So, yeah. Well, you know, I think it's an acquired taste. So with you being ranked where you are for next year's draft, like we talked about in the top 10, do you feel a lot of pressure for this upcoming season?
No, I really don't feel any pressure. You know, I feel like, you know, I have the skill set and, you know, the ability to go out there and perform at a high level each and every time I step on the field. So, you know, I just feel like, you know, there's really no added pressure. I feel like I just need to just go out there and have great performances like I know I can, and the rest will take care of itself.
Nice. That's a great attitude. All right. Eric, do you have a question?
Yeah, you just mentioned your skill set. Do you think your, as far as your skills now, how do you think they translate towards the NFL? I know you're projected for the 2016 draft. Do you foresee yourself more so as a attacking style defender, or more so read and react, or what, where do you think you fall as far as that goes?
Yes, sir. You know, one of the things about me that I feel like separates me from most people is the fact that I'm very, very versatile in a number of ways. You know, I wouldn't say necessarily I'm more of an attacking linebacker, but, you know, I have the ability to, you know, shoot the gaps, open gaps. I have the speed to play sideline to sideline. I can cover with just about anybody, slot receivers, tight ends, all that. So, you know, I feel like I'm a very versatile and I'm more of a balanced type player. You know, I really feel like I can do it all. And I think my game translates really, really well to the next level.
Awesome. Nice. So you feel like you could fit in either a 3-4 scheme or 4-3 either way?
Yes, sir. I've actually had experiences in junior college playing multiple defensive sets. And, you know, currently at Southern Nazarene, we won the 43 defense to 4-3 defense. So I feel like, you know, I'm one of those special type of players that can pretty much, you could just plug me in anywhere and I could just make plays and adjust real quick.
Awesome.
That's a good skill to have. So I don't know about you, Larry, but I tend to be a bit of a superstitious person, especially when it comes to sports. So I'm always curious whether players have any sort of game day traditions. Do you have anything like that?
I wouldn't have I don't really have any out of the ordinary, you know, game day traditions. Make sure I pray really, really hard, you know, before the game. More so just to keep me injury free, you know, and I kind of like to eat, you know, peanut butter and jelly before each and every game. I don't know why. That's just something I've done ever since Pop Warner, but nothing really crazy out of the ordinary as far as superstitions go.
Okay. So you said you pray and stuff. Do you have a favorite, like, Bible verse that you feel like really you resonate with that really gets you through or that helps you out?
No, not one in particular. You know, I just kind of just pray, you know, just talk one-on-one with God, you know. I know a lot of people like to do the whole scripture thing, but I haven't really gotten into that too much.
Okay. Yeah, praying definitely, there's something about that tends to be calming for sure. So which NFL player would you say that you've looked up to as a role model, kind of tried to emulate maybe playing style or, you know, something like that?
The kind of couple players I used to really admire when I was younger was Terrell Owens, for the simple fact that our childhoods were kind of similar. So that was someone I always looked up to as a child. And, you know, every time, you know, things got hard for me or I was going to give up or, you know, people told me I couldn't do this or that, you know, I always looked at, you know, T.O. and I always saw how he was able to persevere and always push through. And, you know, he came from, you know, a very, very small college and became an NFL superstar. And, you know, that's kind of what I aspire to be and want for my life. And, you know, another player I really looked up to just because of his style was just so aggressive and he was just really a playmaker was Sean Taylor. And, when I was a kid, I really, really, you know, tried to emulate his game as far as how hard he used to play. And so those are two people I used to look up to when I was younger.
Okay. So what's your favorite NFL team? Who do you find yourself rooting for?
I don't really have a really particular NFL team. I would say at this point, you know, I'm just a fan of great football all over. So, you know, I could, Monday night football comes around, you know, it doesn't really matter who's on the TV. I'm going to sit down and watch, you know, I'm a fan of just watching great football and just football altogether.
Okay. All right. So I saw that you liked boxing. Are you going to watch the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight?
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited to see that fight. You know, I mean, people have been talking about that for, it seems like, 10 years almost. So for it to actually be finally happening is going to be great. Can't wait to watch.
Yeah, me and Eric were even talking about that because we're both boxing fans. And so we were talking about how exciting it is as we're finally going to fight. So who are you rooting for?
I'm kind of hoping that you know, Mayweather keeps his perfect record because that's something very unique and special to see somebody to have, you know, close to 50 fights and still be undefeated. But, you know, I respect Pacquiao a lot. I know how hard he works, and I think he's a great fighter as well. So I'm really just excited to see.
Okay. Eric, do you have another question?
Yeah, I know you said you don't really have a favorite NFL team, but do you have an NFL team that you feel like would be the best fit for you, or you feel like you can pretty much go anywhere and be able to fit into the system?
Well, you know, I was so honored to just play for any team in any city, you know, in America. But, you know, organization like the Patriots, you know, that's, you know, they set the bar so high, you know, the consistent winning that they've had the last 15 years almost, you know, it would be an honor to play for them. But I'm really open to playing for any team that would just give me a shot. I feel blessed and be honored to have that.
I knew I liked this guy, Eric. See? That's my team. That's my team, Mary. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. She likes the evil empire.
Yeah. Oh, man. What are some things that, you know, because obviously great football players and playing at the level you play at, you always have to be working to get better. So what are some things that you do to keep getting better at your position and just at your skill set in general?
You know, the things I try to improve on are more, you know, mental aspects more than physical aspects, you know, because there's a lot of people that can run fast and jump high and, you know, hit hard. But what really separates people from good to great is the little things, I feel like. So this off season, I've been, you know, working really, really hard with a personal trainer, doing a lot of yoga, flexibility. And I've even had, you know, a dietitian come out and help me with my personal diet. So I've got to rid up a lot of the junk food and things of that nature. So I really feel like I'm moving towards being that elite player that I aspire to be.
Nice. Very cool. Those are some hard changes to make, too. I don't think people realize how hard it is to change things like diet, you know, habits like that, or they get so ingrained in you. So I definitely commend you on that. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Eric, do you have any last questions?
Yeah, I've got a fun question for you. Those of us that have played, you know, of course, we're familiar with the Oklahoma drill, you know, the one-on-one tackling drills. So let's say you one-on-one against Adrian Peterson in the hole. Who wins?
There's no doubt in my mind that I would win.
Good answer.
Confident is only a football player can be. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Gotta have it.
That's right. Well, Larry, we really appreciate you coming on and talking to us tonight. It's been a lot of fun getting to know you. We really hope that you can come back and talk to us again, you know, in the future. We'd really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely love to do that sometime.
Great. Great. So before you leave, can you let everybody know where they can kind of find you on social media so they can kind of follow your journey? We can all see how you're doing and what's going on in your life.
Yes. For those who are listening, you guys can follow me on Twitter at _KingButler, the number 3. And you can also follow me on Facebook. My Facebook fan page is just Larry D. Butler III Fans.
Nice. Great. Well, we wish you the best of luck this season, and thanks again for making the time to come on.
Oh, yes. Thank you all very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks,
Larry. Have
good
a
luck
good night.
You too.
All right, everybody. And that was Larry D. Butler III. Very awesome. It'll be exciting to see. I think he's going to be doing some great things in the future, so you all want to keep an eye on him. I know we will, and he'll be coming back on to talk about things in the future. So we want to remind you guys to subscribe to our playlist at Gridiron Beauty's YouTube channel and witness girls playing American football like a girl, no joke football. You can follow the new Twitter LIBF handle at 1LIBF and our network partner at @Radio_IMAN on Twitter for updates and scores weekly. You can follow the Pretty Girl Football League at PGFL Official on Twitter and on Facebook.com/LIGATGFL for scores. You can also follow the Caribbean Football League at Bucaneras Bikini for updates. That's at Bucaneras. You can get the LNFA Spanish League updates and stats at www.fefa.es/LNFA. use the hashtag LNFA Feminina on Twitter. Follow at FEFA underscore Spain for update of matches on Twitter, and also follow at NFL Hispano. Reminder to follow the Australian women's offseason updates and keep up to date on the latest at LGL AUST, the Gridiron Victoria, Queensland ACT, and New South Wales information by following at Women's Gridiron, at LGL AUST on Twitter, and their website, wglaus.com. That's wglaus.com for cool features and past stories and just news and updates. The Western Women's Canadian Football League kickoff in Canada officially starts May 9th and 10th, but they will have an exhibition weekend on May 3rd, so keep your eyes peeled. You can keep up to date on news and updates by following our network on Twitter, at Backseat Coach, at WSB Talk, at Mr. Iron 9, at GI Queendom, at Radio underscore IMAN, and continue to share our posts on info on women's tackle football full kit and non-full kit. So that's women's news. Follow us on our social sites on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties, or find us on Instagram and Gridiron Beauty. So we do have some time to talk NFL news, Eric. So I just saw that the Eagles signed DeMarco Murray to a 5-year, $42 million deal.
Interesting.
So... yeah, I wonder if Nkeshi has seen that and if she's crying.
I was going to say, it sounds like the Eagles were able to find the money for some reason, but the Cowboys couldn't. So.
Right? That's curiouser and curiouser. That was a big, big mistake for them to let him go, in my opinion, I really think. But
well, we'll see. Unless Darren McFadden is able to have some sort of a rebirth, that's probably what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Or if Peterson ends up there, right? I mean, then it wouldn't be a mistake.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I just saw somebody else from the Cowboys had to restructure their deal. I forget who it was, but they have a restructured deal. So the Peterson trade talks are starting to pop up again.
Mm. They're always around, like those, I don't know, the trade rumors for people. And, I mean, the free agency, it ends, though, in a couple weeks, doesn't it? Usually, isn't it the first day they report to, like, spring or summer camp or something, isn't it?
I think so. I forget what the exact date would be. But, yeah, there's still a lot of guys out there that haven't been taken yet. So, as far as free agents.
I know.
Most notably, Ndamukong Suh.
I thought he was at the Dolphins.
Oh, wait, no, he was thinking about the Dolphins. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some big names. Welker still doesn't have a contract anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Which we already talked about that. Poor guy. I don't know. The Panthers picked up the fifth-year option. What's that?
I was going to say, I don't know if he will have a contract this year, but we'll see how that goes.
You know what's going to happen? No contract. The day before free agency ends, Belichick's going to be like, hey, why don't you come and play on special teams? Then he'll be back in a Patriots uniform. Telling you what's going to happen.
Hey, that's what I would do.
It'll be glorious.
Shot at another ring.
Yeah. I know, right? There's always a shot at a ring with the Patriots. I mean... they're one of those teams. They're always in the mix,
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, the Panthers, in a smart move, picked up the fifth-year option on Keekly, which was a genius move. I mean, to not pick up the option would have been just bonehead.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best middle linebackers in the game. I mean, that's someone that you find a way to make the deal happen.
Yeah. You know who I would love to see on the same team just because it would be glorious would be Luke Kuechly and J.J. Watt. They'd be like super defense. Yeah.
Well, they have Brian Cushing. I mean, I think he's got the potential to be as good as Kuechly if he can stop getting hurt.
That's true.
So I think, those guys are, pretty much on the same level. He just has to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And Sanchez sounds a little bit like he's got some sour grapes over there in Philly. Did you hear about his statement about Tebow?
I didn't hear his statement, but...
Yeah, like even let's say they told Sanchez this. Like, why would you release this to the media? He says, I was told Tebow is a camp arm while Bradford recovers. I'm like, are you just trying to be like, I don't know. I just don't see what his end game was with that statement, other than it makes him look a little petty, I think, my opinion. But
yeah, I think, you never know. Maybe somebody caught him at a bad moment or something. But, I mean, that is a pretty crowded situation there at quarterback. I mean, they've got, what, four now?
Yeah.
So you figure by the regular season, two of them are going to be gone. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the NFL. You're there to take somebody's job. So we'll see who
mm-hmm.
still has their job, you know, opening day.
Well, and Sanchez, what he needs to be focused on is winning one of those positions. You know, I mean, yeah, is it a crowded quarterback roster? Sure. But that's not your concern. Your concern is you and what you're doing to improve your skills to win that job, you know. Focusing on Tebow is only going to hurt your game, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it can. I mean, that's the type of, you know, mentality you want to have. But, you know, just as a human being, I mean, you know, deep down, if you're not one of those elite guys, you know, like, you know, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, or someone where you know you're the face of the franchise, you're kind of always looking over your shoulder, because teams are always looking to upgrade. They're always looking for someone, you know, faster, bigger, stronger, that they can pay less money to. So unless you're one of those guys that's kind of entrenched there, you're kind of always looking over your shoulder. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. You definitely want to have the mentality of, you know, what can I do to make myself better?
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Well, I'm trying to find some more news here. Looks like it's a little stale for news right now.
Not much is going on. Maybe it's kind of like the quiet before the storm. We'll see, you know, what kind of crazy things happen on draft day. But not a whole lot is going on right now.
Yeah. Oh, the Dolphins signed Greg Jennings. There we go, people.
Oh, they did.
Yep.
That's a
two-year, $8 million deal. It is. And, you know, Tannehill needs a weapon like that, because Mike Wallace left. I believe he left. So Tannehill definitely needs a guy like Jennings. And Tannehill is an excellent quarterback. He's one of those guys, I think, if the Dolphins can protect him and provide, you know, a little more of an O-line. I think that, you know, and obviously the signing of Sue will beef up their defense. I think the Patriots, to me, the Dolphins are the ones I'm always worried about. The Dolphins are always the one with the most potential in preseason. They have the quarterback in place already, and all they have to do is make a couple of roster moves, and they could be a real threat.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they can, you know, pretty much end up staring the Patriots right in the face instead of always looking up at them. So,
mm-hmm.
But as they say, the game is played on the field and not on paper. So, you know, see how things shake out from here.
Yeah. And did you read about all that stuff with Greg Hardy this week?
I was hearing bits and pieces of it. I know Jerry Jones was kind of expecting the suspension, but I was kind of hearing bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah, I mean, they suspended him for the first 10 games. I mean,
yeah.
You know, obviously the new domestic violence conduct thing in the NFL, you know, and I guess I heard that if he does get one more violation, that they could ban him, like, permanently. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I heard, that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how true that is, but, I mean, based on how the NFL has been ruling on things in recent history, I could, you know, understand
mm-hmm.
that, and also understand why. I mean, you know, last year was, as far as PR for the NFL, was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to do everything they do, everything they can do to, you know, kind of polish up their image.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, with the amount of money that the Cowboys are, you know, shelling out for him, that's that they didn't expect the 10-game ban by any means, you know.
Yeah.
But that they'll appeal the suspension, and then it'll probably be knocked down a couple of games. That's usually what happens, you know. But it's causing problems on the team. He did get into a verbal altercation with a Cowboys teammate. So, you know, I guess the nature of the game and the type of personalities that play that game. But hopefully they can address those locker room issues, you know, so it doesn't cause, you know, worse problems, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't foresee it being a huge issue. I mean, those types of things happen all the time. I think it's just a bigger issue because of who was involved in it. But I mean, situations where you know things get heated, you're constantly under pressure, you're tired, somebody's not pulling their weight, or you know what have you. There's always some issue going on, but. It's just, I think it just blew up just because of who was involved in it.
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a curious thing. So the Denver Broncos franchise tagged Demaryius Thomas. But he hasn't signed the tag and wants a new deal and hasn't shown up to the opening workout. So Elway is not happy, obviously, with that. He
right.
says there's no value there. So, you know, I don't know if he wants more money, if he was unhappy with the franchise tag, I'm not sure. But he hasn't shown up to the workout so far.
I would venture to say he's just probably not happy with being franchised. I think that would be a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, the way things are, you know, not showing up or holding out or whatever is a lot of times that's the only leverage that a player has. So, you know, maybe that's the situation he's in.
Yeah. Well, I know the franchise tag for wide receivers this year was $12.8 million, which is not bad. I mean, for 1 year, you know, 1 year, that's a lot of money, you know. But
yeah,
I suppose
definitely.
He probably wanted a multi-year deal with more security. You know, I get that. I get want some security, especially in this game. We've talked about, it's very up in the air about where you'll be from season to season if you're not one of those guys that gets the multi-year contract and has a, you know, structured place, you know, in your team. So.
Exactly.
Well, I think that just about does it for us. That was another awesome edition of The Blitz. We had some awesome guests, combed over what little NFL news there was. We want to say a big three, and Mary D. Butler III from @_KingButler #3 for being with us today. A reminder, check out @GridironGirl.org on Twitter and GridironGirl.org for football insights. We'll be having our draft stuff up soon. You can follow in Kishi @KishiCuties. You can follow Eric @FitForLife, life was spelled with a Y. And you can find me on Twitter @PatsFangirl12 for more NFL sports tweets in general, general musings. We're pretty hilarious, so you'll want to check us out. You can also catch me during the NFL season @Cover3. It's cover, the number three, then the word three spelled out. Plus my Are You Kidding Me rants on YouTube. I do those during the season. We want to thank everyone for the support and for listening weekly. We appreciate it. So for me and Eric Brown, we will catch you next Sunday for another exciting edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.
Bye, guys.